We made this.
Hello there, everybody. My name is Tim Scullion. Joining me, as ever, is
Paul Field,
and we
buy
records. And it's a very special episode today because we're going to be talking exclusively about the behemoth that is Record Store Day. So, if you have no interest in Record Store Day, please feel free to skip this episode. Paul, are you excited about Record Store Day?
I get less excited with each passing one, I think. I've got quite a long history with the event. I've been going to it for most of them. And then when it started to get really popular...
So about six years ago?
Yes, 5-6 years ago when it really took off. And then it started to become a real pain. A lot of this boils down to the organisation. Now, have you been to many? Have you ever done the 5 o'clock in the morning?
No, I never have. Have you?
Yeah, every time. However, even that, I'm not going to name them because they're lovely people, but there was a store that I used to go to. And what would happen is the queue would form as early as the night before, people in sleeping bags. There were several guys who now... I'm not going to say they were dealers. They could have just been very active buyers and liked a wide range of music. Okay?
A suspiciously wide range of music.
A suspiciously wide range of music. So the people would be sleeping out all night would go in, followed closely by these, it's like 3 or 4 guys. And the shop inside just had the stuff in boxes as it came. And these customers would get a list out like this and then start buying, I want this, I want this, and then they'd have to go and fetch each item. Now, these guys were buying 40 to 50 items each.
Really?
Proper, heavy, laden down bags, double bags, both hands coming out.
Presumably not, they would not have been allowed to have bought multiples of the same item.
No, these were obviously buying one at a time. Do you know how long that takes to serve people like that?
Probably quite a long time.
Quite a long time. I remember one year I only wanted one item. I think after 2.5 hours, I hadn't moved more than about 3 feet and I just went home.
From opening time?
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so poorly organised.
So you gave up?
Yeah, I just gave up, went home. I texted my mate in a queue outside Sister Ray's and he picked it up for me. From that year onwards, I moved shops. I found...
What, to test out each shop?
Yeah, I happened to be in there buying records and I asked them, what do you do on Record Store Day? Because this is my current situation and it's ridiculous. And they said, well... And again, I can't name them because what they do, I don't think you're allowed to do, is that they will take...
I think I know who it is.
They will let you give them a... They'll take a list off you. If there's anything obscure on there that they weren't planning on getting, they will get in for you. It will all be bagged up, ready for you. And 10 minutes after opening, in the car on the way back home. And the beauty is I get to drive past the queue of people in my previous shop to get back to my house who is still like standing on the seafront in a gale.
But presumably a lot of the people who... go to the superior organised shop that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them aren't going to be privy to that knowledge that you can sort of pre...
Oh, I think they are. It's the same people every year, and it's the only time I see them. We all kind of look, you know, we all have a little chat and, oh, what are you getting this year? I always make them nervous because we tend to be either first or second in the queue, and I can see them sweating over, have I ordered the only copy of the rare Bowie,
yeah, of course, Bowie.
Box set? Which, and then I go in and pick up, you know, a best of best of acid house album.
Bollocks that nobody else wants.
Exactly.
Of which, of course, there is always a lot on Record Store Day.
There is. One more thing on the organisation, the queue, okay, is obviously not all shops will let you pre-order stuff, okay? But if you can find one, there is a happy medium where when you're in the queue, they will come out with a printed sheet of what's available, get you to write your name on it, you want, and then bag it up.
And have you experienced that?
I haven't.
That's a really good idea.
I know. But friends in London, for example, have told me that this is how their shops operate. And that is that is a happy medium.
Because then you're already in the queue, so you've shown your commitment.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really simple on the day. Get there early, 5:30 should be fine. If you're friendly with the shop owner beforehand, you've got a half a chance, a nod and a wink to get stuff that you know you want. Check that they are actually carrying it, that it's not too obscure, because there are some items on there that, especially if you like electronic dance music, that they may not get in unless you ask them. Or
you're talking about cult artists like Ace of Base, right?
Correct. And there are also items, I don't know if we want to touch upon this now, which some places won't stock because they are too expensive. We'll come back to that in a moment. And then lastly, make sure, and I've done this every year, I've tried to order something which is on the US list.
Yeah.
And then I get there and he goes, yeah, I couldn't find that soundtrack you wanted from Korea. It's US only.
Yeah, I've heard a few people have that confusion. It's not always entirely clear. If you just kind of Google Record Store Day,
yes.
Oh, this list looks great.
Recordstoreday.com, recordstoreday.co.uk. So, items that are a rip-off. Last year, Yazoo, since Mute sold their back catalogue to sort of Sony BMG, they've obviously been trying to get a return. And they had a Yazoo 12-inch that was £22.
Wow.
It did have all these Kevorkian mixes on it, but they weren't really new. They were archive mixes. One of them had not seen the light of day before. And it was all a bit... They hadn't even invested in something new, and it really cheesed me off. And that was, I was told, pre-orders only. We won't be carrying that unless you've specifically asked for it.
Because it's too expensive.
Yep. And then there was an absolute zinger where... people we know at Record Shop in Margate, Transmission, categorically said they would not be stocking a 7-inch single, which was by Florence Without the Machine. Now, I think it was £17 or £18, maybe
for
more.
For a 7-inch.
7-inch. And how much do you think that record is now available for on Discogs, Tim?
And it was £17.99.
It was
around the 18 mark.
Yeah.
£6.
£1.49. Cheapest one.
Really?
Yeah, there's plenty at the £2 mark. Mint as well. And then one of my favourites is from 2016. Heaven 17. We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Thing.
Classic. On,
brilliant. 12-inch. Now, in your lovely shop, if you were to have that 12-inch, where would it be?
£2.
Well, on Record Store Day...
It would be in the £2 12 inches section, 3 for a £5.
Yeah. And it, I think it was around £16, something like that.
And was it an exact replica?
Yep. Yeah. There are 48 copies on Discogs from £4.
Wow.
For still new. So you have to be careful. And in terms of numbers of records, you think, you know, they're all limited, they're very limited. Somebody on Twitter this week posted a picture from 2018 Record Store Day stock, 55 copies of Bowie Now.
Wow.
55 in stock in one shop.
I could fill this whole episode just basically ranting about Bowie and the stuff that gets put out on Record Store Day. And in fact, I will be doing that later.
Yeah, I mean, if things do go wrong and you can't get the item you want, or it's a US-only thing, what you absolutely shouldn't do is pander to flippers and eBayers.
What, and buy it straight away?
Do not buy it straight away. Because history shows that very few of these things really go on to increase in value. And that first 48 hours when people are really fleecing people and chancing their arm... could be those gentlemen I used to see in at that shop with the laden down with heavy bags trotting up the street.
They really, really like music.
They really love music. But if you wait, you will see the prices come down. That's the only advice.
I agree. Sometimes it's Sod's law that the one thing that you really do want, that there's been a few things in previous years that were pretty much the only thing in the whole list that I really did fancy. By the time I got to the shop, it had gone. And even months later, it's slightly more on Discogs or eBay than the RRP was. So I do agree with you, but I guess if you desperately want something and it's on eBay or Discogs soon after the event and it's a comparable price to the RRP, then, you know, there's no harm, is there? That's you know, otherwise there is an outside chance that you'll miss it altogether. What you mustn't do is pay four times the RRP the day after.
Yeah, I think a couple of years back, the Guest, which is a fantastic soundtrack, by the way, some of the tracks on there. And it was, I think it was pink or purple vinyl, but it was a US only. And I think I ended up paying £55, something
including
like
postage?
That. No, plus postage.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah, it's still expensive now. It's,
I was going to say, have
yeah, you? It's comparable now because it was really sought after.
And ultimately, in that scenario, the flipper only made £20.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's people who, you know, go to all this trouble to not really make that much.
To probably less than double their money, which for that much work, I would want to at least be doubling my money. So, I spoke to someone a few months ago. I was telling him about how I buy and sell records. I have a shop. And he sort of, a kind of wistful look came across his face. And he said, oh, yeah, I started out buying and selling records until I discovered how much more you could make with antiques. So that's a little list. I mean, basically, if you want to make proper money, in general, I probably wouldn't recommend records. I'd recommend trying to go to, you know, car boot sales and buying up all the jewellery you can find, because in amongst them, there'll be one that's worth £15,000.
Yeah.
It's not as likely to find a £15,000 record at a car boot sale.
No, that's true, but records are much more fun because I've no interest in jewellery. You can't...
That's a good point.
Sit, what am I going to do with it? Take it home and wear a bracelet?
And this explains why I have a record shop with my partner and not an antique shop.
So, Tim, the 2019 list. Now, I think it's become worse this year that there's not a lot of electronica and dance, and this year has particularly been squeezed, I feel. There's barely any sort of 12-inch singles. There's a couple, but when you look at the, 500-plus releases, there is a lot of beard music compared to calculator music.
This is true, but there's also quite a lot of pop music.
Yep.
The kind of stuff that I wouldn't have thought, you know, because Record Store Day has got a certain amount of cool attached to it, and I'm surprised to see like a reissue of the debut album by Gillan, sort of, you know, classic hard rock guy from the late 70s. I don't know, maybe I'm being slightly sniffy about it, but I, you know, that isn't one that I thought was worth singling out for any kind of either praise or abuse. But I don't know, just a vanilla reissue of a late 70s and Thin Lizzy as well. These are albums that are not hard to get. They're not expensive to get. There's a lot of, I would say, quite mainstream stuff in there. I was surprised by how much, actually.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the best kind of thing I saw on the list were the number of soundtracks. There's quite a lot of US sort of 90s soundtracks that have got a sort of lot of grungy stuff on them. Things like, yeah, I think I saw The Faculty on there.
I think it's mystifying why they've been released. The Cable Guy.
Yep.
Why?
Well, one of them is one of my picks.
Let's go positive.
Yep.
And let's do some picks.
Well, one of my top three picks is the Office Space soundtrack.
Fantastic film.
Love Mike Judge. I think he's an absolute hero.
Agreed.
Beavis and Butthead was like, you know, a mainstay through growing up. And I loved Office Space, and even if it's not a great sound, it's just to own that, the artwork, the cover, and to have it on vinyl is...
And do we know if that's been released on vinyl before?
No, CD only. So yeah, so that's one of my top picks. What have you...
Well, I can also add a soundtrack.
Ooh.
There's a film from 2001 called Ghost World, which stars a relatively young Scarlett Johansson and Thora Birch, as well as Steve Buscemi. And it's a fantastic... It's kind of a coming of age comedy about two teenage girls who their friendship maybe is, you know, they're moving in different directions, and it's incredibly funny. It's an amazing film if you haven't seen it. But the soundtrack is drawn from director Terry Zwigoff's collection of jazz and blues 78s.
Blimey.
Which I can see your face is lit up there, Paul. Oh.
It also
includes a killer Bollywood track called Jaan Pehchaan Ho, which is just an amazing piece of music. It's never been on vinyl before.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll set you back £25. I'm going to get that.
I can see your list there is looking.
My list is groaning.
It's groaning. What have you picked out? Because obviously,
well, let me go through it. Yeah, I've got a couple more soundtrack picks actually.
Yeah, go.
There's a 10-inch on green vinyl of the soundtrack to the TV film The Stone Tape, which was written by Nigel Neal in 72, and that's a Radiophonic Workshop piece. 18 quid for a 10-inch.
It's getting there, isn't it?
But it's really good, and it's the thing itself is a kind of freaky sci-fi horror. It's great. And on a similar vein-ish, another British, experimental music thing, there's Trunk are reissuing a 1971 record, which is worth a cool £1,000. And it's Basil Kirchin, Worlds Within Worlds, which features, for the time, very innovative processed field recordings of improvised jazz people noodling away, which he then took and built something quite different out of. So yeah, if you don't want to pay a grand for it, you can pay £26.
My next pick actually is, and I feel bad after calling out Sony BMG for the Yazoo last year. Yazoo are back, but this time it's the live album.
Didn't see that.
Yeah, so I'm really happy.
You sure that's not US?
Oh, don't tell me that. No, it is. It's UK. I've seen them tweeting about it. Because I got a little bit into it on Twitter with the guy who kind of said he'd been working closely with BMG and Alison, and I kind of said, yeah, you're having a laugh, aren't you? With the £22 for that 12-inch last year. And he did not take kindly to that.
Did he respond?
Oh, yeah, he got into it. He said, oh, well, I saw it cheaper. I'm thinking, well, that's good, but I paid £22. It's like...
Basically, he was calling you a mug.
He wasn't. He was saying, oh, you know, Alison and myself have been working very hard to, you know, to curate all this content and all. I'm thinking, yeah, right, chinny reckon. You're looking at how it's 22 quid for a 12-inch. Lovely. However, that live album, fantastic. Because that is...
It's an archive recording.
Yeah, but it was from the tour they did not that long ago, I think it is. So to have that on vinyl is fantastic, and I'm really, really pleased. No idea what it'll be. I'm guessing 26, 28 quid, something
that
like
about
that.
Right.
Yeah.
What else have I... Oh, this is a good one. One of my favourite 12-inches that I own in my collection is Dream Baby Dream by Suicide, which is a kind of primitive drum machine electronic version of post-punk, and it's kind of just very dreamy and it's amazing is the point. The original 12-inch is worth about 40 quid, maybe a little bit more. It's been reissued and it's 20 quid, so that's great. It's great that you can get it. It's great that it's half the price, but it's still 20 quid when maybe you could get... I don't know how I feel about it. I'm really happy it's out there, but
what will happen is the new one will go up and the old one will come down. They'll both be worth 30.
Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's beautiful. Beautiful about that.
Is the price differential big enough for you to what I call buy a playable one?
Do you know what I thought? This I kind of thought, don't know. It's the kind of thing, is it worth selling? Not that I want to, but would it be, in this brave new world that we're in now of Record Store Day, would it be worth selling your original of something?
Mm-hmm. And then using the funds to buy Well, I don't think so, because that original, joking aside about it coming down in value, it might drop a little bit, but they do tend to hold their value, where a lot of this stuff, as we've already seen by some of these examples, it just, you know, I mean, it's not going to do you any favours because you probably won't be selling it. But if you, you know, actually, you don't have any kids, do you? So, yeah, hang on.
Now, Baron, mate.
Leave them to me. Oh, I'll look after them. My kids are going to take all mine down the bloody charity shop. You watch. do you want me to do my last pick?
Yes.
So I have gone for a 12-inch single, of course, because I collect 12-inch singles, and Orbital are reissuing Impact, and with a new remix, the Cursed Earth remix. Irritatingly, that will be, I reckon, £16-18. And unlike, you know, you're getting an album for a little bit more, those, you know, it's and I think there's only one side has got something new on it. So it's not a great deal, is it? But I was really struggling to find anything. Quite often I'll buy anything up to 12 items.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you think this is the, for you, with your weird tastes, do you think this is the worst year?
Oh, yeah, I think so. For a while, apart from that year when bizarrely I only wanted one item, but that was like 7-8 years ago, I think. Yeah, in recent times, he always seems really pleased to see me in that record shop.
Oh, thank God, thank you.
He knows I'm going to give him an order that's worth, you know, a few hundred quid. Is there anything you've seen on that list, Tim, which has caused you to roll your eyes?
No. They're all perfectly valid, everything put out on record. How could there be a record store day release that isn't completely valid?
What?
Oh, all right.
Do you know what I've picked out? I mean, and trust me, there's quite, in my opinion, there's quite a few zingers here.
It'd be interesting to see if we've picked out any of the same zingers.
We have got some listener zingers as well. But this is my one. I've gone for Chaz and Dave, Margate on Picture Disc, 7-inch. Now, I'm not a fan of 7-inches anyway, not a fan of Picture Disc, and not a fan of any of Chaz and Dave. You mold them all together. That is a triple whammy.
And that's that's a quid single, 50p quid single, isn't it? The original of that. So that's going to be a tenner, isn't it?
I think more Picture Disc. Yeah, because I think last year I bought the Major Tom Peter Schilling 7-inch Picture Disc, and I think £14 or £15.
It's because they're dying. Can they stop dying? If it wasn't for Chaz Hodges dying,
I'm telling you, if you want, I think I put this on Twitter, I was hoping I wasn't going to offend people, but basically saying, you know, if you want your work widely represented at record store day, simply drop dead.
I think it's a foolproof plan, isn't it?
Have you got some?
I'm sure that this has been discussed across internet forums, you know, already. But Ace of Base, The Sign, Picture Disc single, and you know. I've got a soft spot for that song.
Did you say 7-inch?
Yes, I believe so.
Ooh, okay.
I quite like the song.
I like the song.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd said 12-inch, I'd have been, ooh.
I think it's a 7. 14 quid to you.
Hmm.
So my issue with it, as well as kind of why, is that the picture disc image is of a red stop sign design, and it says this instead of saying stop, it says The Sign.
Right.
Now, the meaning of the song, The Sign, they're not singing an ode to a traffic sign, are they?
I did not think.
It just feels like someone who couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's called The Sign. Oh, there's a sign. It feels like a little bit of a slap in the face to me of like, oh, people will buy this. It's called The Sign. What can we do? Sign.
Do you think you could, a lot of these releases, you need to trace them back to the money? who's got the rights? Who's putting this out? Do we even know who owns the rights at the moment to The Sign? They could have set them a budget. We want it, you know, the cheapest possible for the maximum return. You know, how much artist involvement was there? Because
when you say artist, we're talking, sorry, this is Ace of Base we're talking about.
I know, but still, we're going to come on to this in a minute, because I know for a fact that at least one of these releases was, when the artist was contacted, they said absolutely not.
And is it still going?
Oh, yes. No authorization for the mastering, the plates, the anything. They've had no input because obviously someone else owns the rights to it.
Wow.
Mmm.
Coneheads was a flop and a stinker when it came out.
Yes.
It's a Saturday Night Live spin-off starring Dan Aykroyd, early 90s. Long story short, it's being pressed on 140-gram vinyl, which even though 180 grams is bullshit, they couldn't even be bothered to give it that, you know, that like, oh, it's 140, that'll do, 140-gram vinyl, Coneheads. And what I'm wondering is, are they hoping to trick younger people into thinking that it's a cult film and not just a flop film? I don't know, 23 quid.
No, I don't
know. Coneheads was, I remember when I happened to be in America as a young lad when Coneheads came out, and it was such a flop that we went to a drive-in cinema to see it,
mm-hmm.
and it was shown as a double bill with Wayne's World, because the only way to get people to come and view it was to pair it up with Wayne's World, a film that people actually wanted to see.
Oh, really? God, that's not good,
that's
is it?
My personal connection with Coneheads.
Just looking through the... Well, one other, obviously, I'm definitely picking up will be the South Park
soundtrack. Oh, Bigger, Longer and Uncut, the movie.
Yep, that's not been on vinyl before.
That's one of the few musicals that I actually like. I'm not a big musical fan, but I really like that.
That's my thing. People say I don't like musicals. However, I do like South Park, which because they'll have the Uncle song.
Yes, the Uncle song will be on vinyl
for the first time. I'm rushing around to buy that. And I am tempted by The Faculty, even though it is all sort of 90s grunge stuff. Do you know what's really annoyed me? Because I think this year is the 25th anniversary of one of my all-time favourite films, which has an amazing soundtrack, never been on vinyl. If only there was an event happening each year that where they could combine a 25th anniversary with a vinyl release. Do you know what it is?
What is it?
Human Traffic.
Has that not come out on vinyl?
No.
The soundtrack, that's ridiculous.
No. I know, isn't that insane? It's because it's dance music. I just don't think that they think...
But that also makes it more perfect to be like a four 12-inch sort of set. That would be ideal for that.
I am very patient when it comes to these things. I waited 20 years, I think it was, to buy the Run Lola Run soundtrack.
Brilliant.
Which Bella Union put out a couple of years back.
Yeah, that's a great soundtrack.
And I could have bought it on CD at any point for whatever, a pound. And I was like, no, I'm going to wait. Because somebody at some point, and then
well
when this,
done, man.
I know, that's. But my next one is Human Traffic. I'm convinced somebody at some point is going to put that out on vinyl. Pete Tong, if you're listening, you were you did produce all the music for, you did pick all the tunes. So if you're listening, please can you put Human Traffic out on vinyl?
You might have to wait until the 30th anniversary. That's my.
You
that's,
reckon?
That's, yeah, that's what. I'm thinking.
That shit might have sold. We might have been, vinyl might have moved on by then.
It'll all be HD vinyl then.
Yeah.
There's one I have to talk about because I think it's the one that I was, you know, I don't want to say it made me angry because that makes me sound like I'm mental. But I don't know if you saw this on the list. The Wit and Wisdom of Donald Trump.
Ah, now, that is on my list to buy. Because it's a...
Paul.
Yeah, but it's going to be a piss take, isn't it? It's not a serious record because there is a... another record called It's a Kind of Pastiche of, which is The Wit and Wisdom of Ronald Reagan. And I know this because my friend Beanie told me. And if you look it up, do you want me to look it up?
Well,
I'm telling you, it exists. It's quite collectible as well.
But do you know, for reading between the lines of a description that I read of this record...
Right. Is it sort of... It's not pro-Trump propaganda, is it?
I believe it is a blank disc.
Ah, that's slightly
different.
So if
you want to pay 19 quid for a blank disc with a really unappealing Photoshop job of his face on the cover,
right.
You are welcome.
You see, there we go. Look,
so that's my hunch, is that it's going to be blank. Wow.
Do you think that's blank as well?
It's possible. We're looking at the Ronald Reagan one from 1980, and it could be blank as well. Whoa, it goes for 20, 30 quid.
I don't...
Bizarre. But yeah, so I could be wrong, but I've been, you know, I consider this a fair warning. You may be buying an hilarious blank disc as a kind of satire.
Oh, well, do you know what? If I do, that could end up being the second blank record or more or less sort of blank record, because Mute are about to release the Stum 433 box set, aren't they? 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence.
Oh, John Cage.
Yes.
Oh, really?
50 artists have contributed to a box set.
For real?
For real. Unless it's an elaborate wind-up. But some of them have been released. Lieback have done a video of them sitting around doing nothing.
But that's way better. That's much better than this Trump bollocks. Yes, but that's it's much better.
On a vinyl box set.
Wow.
That's a lot of 50 artists.
So if I was going to be a bit of a sort of spotty nerd about John Cage and 433, mm-hmm. I would say that it's an exercise in the art of listening and the art of the presence of a room.
Right.
So the theory is supposed to be that it's important to the piece that the musicians are there, are present, and you're just taking in the sound of the room with the musician. And he said magicians there, and in a way they are magicians, aren't they? And so, like, it's not silence.
Well, I think it's a recording chess.
Oh, fantastic. So at least they're doing something that's brilliant.
But
that's
as a visual,
much more interesting.
That is more interesting on a vinyl record, listening to Lieback
playing chess. Record Store Day idea for next year. The sound of the best chess games of all time. First time on vinyl. Which brings me neatly on to a box set that is coming out on Record Store Day, which is the radio series of The Mighty Boosh. Or I think then just The Boosh.
It's one of those shows that I don't get it. I always think it's people mucking about, and it's very popular with students who also
and they're mucking about.
I put it in the same category as
you sound like a retired sergeant
I
major.
Know, but it's like shooting stars and stuff. No, I know people love that, right? I don't get it. I don't find it. I just think it's people mucking about and being silly. I like structure and a callback, and you know.
Well, my the reason why that made my naughty list.
I
know.
Jumped the gun there.
Is that I don't think a radio series warrants being expensively pressed onto vinyl, and I think last year or the year before they did it with the Alan Partridge radio series, No New. And again, I think you can pick that up for not that much money now as well. And it isn't even about the value of the material. It's that we have MP3s now, we have streaming for radio comedy. I'm just gonna say, for me, speech, I can't.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's just me.
My friend, James Mullinger, the comedian, who I do a different podcast with, who lives in Canada.
No cross promotion, please.
A couple of years ago, he brought out a record on Record Store Day in Canada on blue vinyl of his stand-up show. Do you know what? I've listened to it a couple of times. It works in the same way that they used to work back in the 60s and 70s. There was a lot of these.
Yeah, there were a hell of a lot. Okay, I'll qualify my statement.
Okay.
I think a vinyl pressing recording of a kind of 50-minute stand-up set with a lot of audience and a lot of liveness, I think they're lovely, actually. I think they're really nice. And in fact, a lot of American comedians are still putting them out. And they're putting them out on things like Sub Pop, the sort of grunge label. So it's. I think that's great and that's different. It's archive radio.
Oh, yeah.
Radio now pressed on vinyl. I don't get it.
Anything they can get onto vinyl. I mean, I like some of them. Some of them I find odd choices. A lot of sort of 8-bit stuff, video game music. It almost feels that some of them do feel a bit cash grabby.
I have one more not so pro, even though it's from one of my favourite artists, Mr. David Bowie.
Ah.
So in their wisdom, whoever owns the rights now to his stuff, have decided to re-release The World of David Bowie for Record Store Day.
Is that a compilation?
It is. Now, are you familiar with The World of compilations? It's something that you will have flipped through in charity shops a million times. The World of Mantovani. World of Great Classics.
The World of Mantovani is like my nemesis. I see it everywhere. Right. It drives me mad. They should all be taken to landfill.
So there was a Bowie one released in the very early 70s of his. It took him many years to become a successful artist. And he recorded and released stuff that was good. And it was a bit kind of English Anthony Newley music hall, oh, love a duck kind of stuff. And it was good for what it was. It's got a lot of fans. But it isn't the Bowie that everyone is in love with, that everyone wants, that everyone talks about. It isn't that Bowie. It's recordings from before that Bowie.
So are they looking to fleece unsuspecting punters?
Yes, I believe that's exactly what they're wishing to do. So it contains zero hits,
right.
Zero tracks that your mild Bowie fan has even heard of. No kidding. It's not it really. You have to be quite a hardcore Bowie fan to know and care about this material. And that's what they've chosen to release. A budget odds and sods early stuff compilation, which is readily available. The price varies, but it's not an expensive record. And that's what they've reissued.
I wonder if that's been reissued by his estate, or is that because it's so old and it could be, you know, someone owns that copyright.
Yeah, it really could be. Because he was on Decca,
mm-hmm.
and then changed to RCA. So I wonder if Decca still have the rights to those Maybe. Early bits. But I'm not impressed.
I do have a zinger to finish on. And this is available. It was released in pretty much every country in the world. I've seen it many, many times. You can pick up a really nice copy for £3.
Is it Small Town Boy?
It's not Small Town Boy. I'm sure they'll be punting it out for £25. It is the Mickey Mouse Disco album.
Classic.
How much do you sell the Mickey Mouse Disco album for, Tim?
If it's in really good nick, a fiver.
Okay. You wouldn't, but
thing is, it actually does have its fans, though, that record. It really does.
The original? Who's running out to buy a reissue of the Mickey Mouse?
You know, you might be surprised. We get quite a lot of Disney fans in the shop. It's definitely a type of people who like pop culture. They like collecting things, and they really like Disney.
Yeah, I've got a friend who collects Disney pins. Hello, Beanie. I know you'll be listening.
Thank God I didn't say anything negative about Disney fans.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I came across something while researching this, which initially was something, you know, which made me furious. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's definitely going to go on my list of tsk. But in fact, on a little bit further investigation, it's leapt into my list of Records All Day recommends.
Ooh.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
Not a clue what this might be.
So there was a 12-inch single, late 70s, by the Andrea True Connection called More, More, More. She was a former porn actress, I think.
Yes, I'm interested now.
Classic disco track. All right. Cheesy classic disco track. And I saw Record Store Day doing a pretty vanilla-looking 12-inch press of it. And I thought, oh, come on. That 12-inch, that must have sold loads. That I'm sure that's worth about £2. I couldn't immediately recall us having had one lately, but I thought, yeah, come on. It's just like a Buddha Records. You know, that it was a massive hit, colossal international hit. And I thought, but I will just check. It only came out on 7-inch in almost every single country. It only came out as a proper 12-inch, I think, in America. And if you want to buy that the original mid-late 70s 12-inch now, how much do you think you'd have to pay?
£300.
£50 to £200.
Okay.
So, hush my mouth, basically. So, some, you know, these things aren't always as it seems. Sometimes a knee-jerk reaction to that, you know, might be a bit, but... Do your research is what I'm trying to say, Paul.
Always. We have got some listeners of,
Come on, as if we've got any listeners.
I know. And Susanna on Twitter, Madame Susanna, says, I don't care what anyone says. My two top picks for Record Store Day 2019 are the Bowie Dietrich Just a Gigolo and Aha, because reasons. Fair enough.
It's quite hard to argue against
you
reasons, isn't it?
You cannot argue with that. I have got Simon Galloway, who is the host of one of the hosts of Charity Shop Classics in Manchester on All FM every Sunday at 11. He says he's after a few bits and bobs, but he'll be staying in bed this year because he's got better things to do.
Sick burn. The night train presents as Exhibit A, and I'm not sure whether this is a positive or negative Exhibit A, mm-hmm. but in my experience, Exhibit A is normally involved in trials. Boy George and Culture Club, Runaway Train featuring Gladys Knight, and it's a shaped picture disc, and it's the shape of Boy George.
Yeah, I'm going to say that that is not a positive tweet, that is something he was going to rush out and buy.
You might be right.
Phonic Underground, he says, I was going to try and get the 7-inch of Morricone's Antichrist, but it's limited to 500 copies and will cost upwards of $15, and there's no shagging way I'm paying that for two tracks.
Dave, the dog-faced boy on Twitter, says that his pick is Frank Black, Teenager of the Year. Frank Black, of course, from Paul Doesn't Know. The Pixies. They're a beard band.
I had a Frank Black box set, huge thing full of bloody CDs that I picked up in a St. Leonard's Chazza for like £1 and may have flipped.
Oh, he's such a flipper. As Dave here points out, he'll now hopefully be able to own it on vinyl without auctioning a kidney.
Oh, is it really expensive?
It is expensive.
Okay. Well, Nigel Wallace, here we go. He says he was really excited about the Bark Psychosis release until I heard from Bark Psychosis's GP Sutton. And he says, this release is nothing to do with me. I've asked them not to do Record Store Day. There is no approval of the track listing, no approval for the artwork, no approval for the mastering, no approval of the pressings. I can't vouch for the veracity of the masters used. You get the picture. So that's the artist himself calling them out and saying, you know, and he's retweeted it here again. Buyer beware. The Record Store Day issue of Bark Psychosis, Independency, is unapproved, made despite being asked not to. Ouch.
It's not ideal, is it?
I think
the same thing happened in a previous year with a Spaceman 3 or a Spiritualized record. So, yeah, it does happen.
Uh-huh. I'm afraid. I've got another one here from a friend of the show, James Dubree. He is after a 7-inch of a cult classic, Daughters of Darkness. Limited edition, 750 copies in the UK. Of the artist is François de Roubaix.
François de Roubaix, he's brilliant.
There we go.
He's a French TV and film soundtrack composer. And yes, that's on my list as well.
Oh, I'm going to say, well, and if Dubree wants it, that's going to be really sought after.
Well, he's got good taste because that dude is amazing. Finally here, Daryl Bullock wants something called the Bingo Hand Job official release.
Yeah, I saw this and I thought, now, is he... Because he knows that I don't know anything about music from a certain era or type. I thought he's winding me up and he just wants me to say bingo hand job on air.
Which we've now done.
Is it a thing?
Well, the thing is he has added that he was at the show.
Oh, okay.
And that he could be heard clearly.
He could have been heard quite clearly having a hand job at bingo.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
And then there's one more here, and this is from someone called Professional Charity Shopper. Blimey. He's after Floyd's Mono Saucerful, as I still haven't seen the £500 original in a charity shop. Is that how much it costs?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Blimey.
I had a copy of that, which was in... It had a scratch all the way around the opening centimetre of one side, which caused a lot of jumps. But we still sold it for about £200.
Oh, wow.
One of the interesting things about Record Store Day is what it prompts businesses to do who aren't participating in the official Record Store Day, which costs thousands of pounds to take part in because it's a bit of an all or nothing, really. If you're going to do it, you have to do it properly.
Yeah,
and it's all non-returnable stock.
Oh.
Again, I mean, this is I've accidentally triggered a separate discussion, but we can leave the listeners to think about the impact of
there's a shop
of that
in Austria,
financial decision.
I have to mention there's a shop in Austria. Not only does it have a really rude sign on the door about we don't sell hip hop records, or no, rap and hip. Anyway, it's there's a nasty undercurrent to that sign.
Yeah.
And what they do sell is Record Store Day graveyard stock going back since the inception, and it is all absolute crap you've never heard of and would never want to buy. But the problem is, because of the outlay, the discount on it is so small.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is awful.
Well, I've heard from a record shop that participates that the margins are shockingly tight on Record Store Day. Really, really tight for non-returnable stock.
Yeah.
So yeah, if they accidentally do a Florence and buy 50 copies of that Florence and the Machine, well, Florence without the Machine,
Florence 7-inch. Without the Machine, yes. Apologies to the Machine there for incorrectly linking you with the Record Store Day 2018 release. It was Florence without the Machine.
I'm very sorry. So yeah, it's a tightrope, and I mean, so I've also heard record shops say that it is their best day of the year.
Bread and butter keeps them going. So, it's their Christmas.
Yeah, it's their Christmas. So it's a complicated one, but. What I really like is shops like the shop that I happen to run, which we try not to mention too much on here. As it
I don't think you've ever mentioned it.
So we have a sale. So the concept is, instead of going in and being faced with records that are on the more expensive side, you can go to a regular record shop on the day, support record shops, and actually pick up a bargain. And we might have like DJs or live bands, free beer and stuff, free snacks. Oxfam, the Oxfam in Bexhill in particular, does a really good job.
A good job.
So they hold back what they think seem like good records, and then they put them out on Record Store Day. And what I really like is, they even put a sign sort of saying, or a part of their promotion is, go to the proper record shops first, and support them, and then when you've done that, come to us and buy some interesting records from us, which I think is a really nice way of doing it.
And it's lovely for me because of the way I do Record Store Day, in that I am back home by, God, I don't know, 8:30 or whatever, and then I can have some breakfast, go down to Oxfam for them opening while everyone else is still queuing up, and rinse through the hundreds and hundreds of dance 12 inches which they had there last
year,
which
was
absolutely amazing, and they were like 50p each.
And did you buy a load?
I bought loads. Fantastic. Like 30 or 40. The bloke was like, blimey.
Yeah, you sure you want these?
I was like, oh, yes. That's it for this Record Store Day 2019 special. Please do come and find us on social media at We Buy Records Pod, and tweet us your picks and purchases from the day.
Yes, yeah, send us a photo of the receipt.
Yes.
So we can see how much money you've spent.